niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
Welcome to another episode of the Link Up. I am your host, Mr. Ron, the Don. And ladies and gentlemen, Xander's back. Back again. My co-host, the light-skinned John Moxley. Helen, Xander, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, it's crazy what like a week or 2 weeks can do. Like, I'm already freaking out there right now.
Everything good? Had a good Father's Day? Good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty decent. Just, you know, trying to bounce back. Get back in that wrestling ring, man, because I'm kind of on the shelf right now with a little elbow injury. But we trying to get back.
Man, don't even worry about it, man. You on the way back. And when you go back, you're going to come back harder. Pause. You're going to come back stronger and better than ever.
All right.
It's best if we move on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a jam-packed episode. As always, you know, we had a PLE this past weekend. You know, we had a crazy Monday Night Raw. Just a crazy weekend wrestling overall. So we're going to get straight to it. Starting with a surprise, we're going to actually cover AEW Dynamite today, ladies and gentlemen. That show started off, you know, with the world champion, Swerve Strickland, coming out. You know, coming out to address his new number one contender at Forbidden Door, Will Ospreay. I'm pretty sure those two, when it's time, gonna put on one for the ages. But he was interrupted by the Elite, you know, or should I say the EVPs of AEW, who wanted to know one thing. Will Swerve Strickland join them for Blood and Guts? His answer, no. And then this led to, you know, them jumping Swerve, and then came out the Acclaim, and then that kind of kicked off the show. After that, there was a one-on-one match between Jack Perry and Dustin Rhodes. Winner goes on to compete for the TNT Championship that was vacated by Adam Copeland. Jack Perry won this match. But then we got Roosh, who came out, and, you know, he's been in a feud with MJF lately. He kind of squashed his opponent. You know, you a big MJF fan, and seeing that he's back and the first program he's in is with Roosh, what is your thoughts on this, you know, budding rivalry?
I mean, I guess this is just his way to get back to the championship. They just trying to, you know, put him in something. Honestly, you can argue that they're kind of giving him, like, the Cody Rhodes treatment. Like, they're just kind of giving him stuff to, like, fill in those gaps. So it kind of feels a little awkward right now. But it'll all make sense later on down the line, I'm sure. I'm sure that with MJF being back, they're going to start doing the right thing.
It's interesting that you say that, because we've been hearing, like, well, I've been seeing on the toxic IWC, you know, at least the AEW haters, they're saying ever since MJF has been back, he hasn't been able to draw. Do you think that MJF and AEW will get back to that point where they're pulling in, you know, a lot of viewers, everybody coming to the shows? Do you think MJF will reach that height again, or do you think it's over for him?
So you got to understand this. So before he got hurt, he was riding a big wave. And right now, they're just trying to get, you know, he's trying to slowly get that back. But at the end of the day, it's a team effort, yo. One thing I learned in professional wrestling, it is a team effort. Everybody has to do their part to make the show great. It's not just on one person. I mean, yeah, like, you can put the rocket on one person's back and it's up to them to sail and go high. But, I mean, it's a team effort at the end of the day. Because, I mean, for the most part, you're not in there, you know, wrestling a broomstick. You're obviously going to be in there with another opponent. And both of y'all got to work together to put on a great match, put on a great storyline. So at the end of the day, it's just team effort. So I wouldn't put that all on MJF.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree. Obviously, you know, AEW is taking a big hit over the years with the loss of Cody, the loss of Jade Cargill, CM Punk. Kenny Omega has kind of been out, in and out, you know, with various injuries.
Yeah, isn't he 6'2" still or no?
Yeah, he's still. Yeah, I feel like with this thing, this is in a way a blessing in disguise for AEW. Now, I know I could sound crazy for saying that, but I mean, like, this finally, you know, allows AEW without all these big hitters to really evaluate the roster and be like, you know, start booking people to turn them into stars, to turn them into mainstream stars, since you lost that. And I think MJF is one of those guys. Swerve Strickland is one of those guys. Like, he's, you know, tapped into the hip hop community. You know, he's been bringing like all sort of, you know, special guests on the shows. So I think AEW, from a booking standpoint, they should tap more into that stuff and, like, you know, making people who can go, like, out and bring people to the product. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you say that, like, Swerve, you know, you drop names like Swerve and MJF. Honestly, you can really look at them two as, like, locker room leaders right now. So it's really, like, up to them to kind of lead by example. But at the end of the day, too, like, most of these wrestlers that were in that locker room, they have to just, you know, they have to want to go get it. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, they can give you, you know, all the tools and stuff, but you got to be the one at the end of the day, like, okay, what can I do to make myself better? What can I do to change the way how, you know, to where people actually want to watch the product? Because you know what I mean? Like, lately, I've been watching a lot of indie wrestling. I watch a lot of other, you know, products besides, you know, the WWE. I watch Reality of Wrestling. Watch. Starting to get back into watching TNA now, because we're going to talk about them later. But, yeah, man, it's just, you know, a lot of other, it's a lot more wrestling out there right now. So when one promotion isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, all they're going to do is go to another one and try to watch something that, about what the next show is doing. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of like, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I like the fact that you brought up the fact that they got wanted, you know, not to get too off track, but I remember, like, back in the days where you had the Monday Night Wars going on, and like the intensity on both sides, like both sides would say like they really wanted to win. So then that allowed for like the best, you know, television for consecutive weeks on end. So I just feel like, you know, people on the AEW side, if they had that mindset of like, we, instead of always mentioning WWE and saying that you're better, if you actually go out there and try to prove it and show it, like, you know, people will come back to the product. Because I feel like, you know, the days of, like, COVID, when they were in Jacksonville most of the time, and even before that, when they first came on the scene, they were, like, you know, on the mountaintop, from, in my opinion.
Yeah, they had that wave. They was on a massive wave back in, what, 2019? Shoot, mm-hmm. I remember then when freaking boy Jake Hager was, like, one of their first, like, big signings, like on Dynamite. I was hyped for that. I'm like, Jake Hager's in AEW? Shoot, we finna see what's going on. Right. Now look at him. But, hey, that's just the thing. That's the thing about wrestling, okay? Once you have that momentum, you have to capitalize on it. You don't capitalize on it, it's gonna tank real quick. Real quick.
Exactly. Because, like, even look at WWE now. A lot of people thought, like, you know, they were dead in the water. What they do, like, you know, Vince McMahon stepped away, Triple H took the reins, and now, you know, they're bigger than ever. But we're going to move on here with AEW Dynamite. We saw a six-man tag match with the team of Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, and Orange Cassidy going against the United team of the Don Callis family and the Undisputed, Kyle Fletcher, Roderick Strong, and Takeshita. In which we saw that team take the victory, you know, with a few interferences from Trent Beretta and Chris Statlander and everything happening after the match. And then after that, it was announced that Roosh and MJF will face off in next week's Dynamite, or this past week's Dynamite, when you guys will be watching. And then we saw the tag team of the Premier Athletes versus Samoa Joe and Hook. And, you know, this wasn't really a contest. What are your thoughts on Hook and Samoa Joe as a tag team?
Samoa Joe and Hook. Okay, I mean, honestly, That's not a bad pair up. I mean, you got teacher and mentor. I mean, hey, what more can you say about that?
Yeah. It's just funny how many, like, different tag teams we got.
Look, I was just going to say that, but I decided to keep it short. But I was going to pinpoint the fact that AEW has a lot of factions and a lot of tag teams. And honestly, too, a lot of championships. Yeah. Like, I don't know who it was, but somebody had said this on a podcast or whatever. I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure, like, someone said, like, the championships are just, like, they don't mean much if you're going to have a bunch of them on TV. Like,
right.
They just look like little consolation prizes at this point. Like, I mean, but I'm not knocking any of the champions on AEW or Ring of Honor. None of that. But it's just like, when you have a lot of them on TV, it's just like, man, my thing, see, what I would do is, and this is not me fantasy booking or nothing like that, try to merge some of those. Yeah. At this point, merge some of the championships, like some of the Ring of Honor championships, merge them. Some of the AEW championships, merge them. It's just, might have to merge some stuff just so it's not like, so just so like when they're actually competing for championships, it actually means a lot more, because it's just like, I'm starting to see like a championship match like every week on AEW, huh? Almost every week, I see a championship match, which is not a bad thing, but it's just like, I mean, championship matches are really specifically for, like, pay-per-views and, like, you know, like, one-off episodes instead of, like, big episodes of, like, that show.
Well, that was a great segue, because speaking of a championship match, we had the TBS championship on the line with champion Mercedes Moné, whose Boston Celtics just won the NBA championship. She put the title on the line against Zooksies, in which she successfully defended that championship and got the victory. And then also on the line is the AEW International Championship in the main event, where we saw champion Will Ospreay defeat Rey Fénix in the main event of Dynamite. And then also after the match, you know, getting in the face of Swerve. You know, those two had a little back and forth, you know, putting the title on one shoulder, and then Swerve just grabbed him and was like, you know, you lucky you my friend, because if you wasn't, I would put you in a grave. Are you looking forward to seeing these two face off for that AEW World Championship?
And this kind of ties in to what I was just saying before about the championships. Will Ospreay has the international title. Swerve has the AEW World title. Why are both titles not on the line? Why are both titles not on the line for that match? I mean, it would just make more sense. That right there would kind of give me a reason to tune in. I ain't gonna lie. I would tune into that match. If both titles were on the line, that right there would be the key for me. I'd be like, all right, bet. You know what? Let me check out this match. Let me check out this pay-per-view. So it just kind of doesn't... I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of it with the whole, like, you know, like, if you're in a rivalry with a champion and you're a champion and that title only gets defended, that was honestly the same thing I was saying about the whole Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul thing. Like, I didn't like that either. So it ain't no, look, both of them, both sides are getting the bad part of me right now with that. So, but hey, that's just, I don't really feel like that's like the best move. Like, if you have both champions, if you have like both champions or whatever on like in the same match, just put both titles on the line. It's logical. I'll just say that. It's more logical to do that, in my opinion.
No, I definitely agree with you, and I also feel like from their perspective, they have, like, you know, a big enough roster. They got three different shows, and then all the shows that come on YouTube. You got the ROH title.
But hey, I don't book the matches. I'm not a booker.
I was going to say,
I'm a member of the IWC, just like all of y'all, all right? I am not a booker. I'm going to put that disclaimer right here. I am not a booker. I don't want to be a booker.
Hey, CM Punk would be proud of you for that statement.
Yeah, but, you know? See?
Yeah, I just feel like...
And you know what? I should have worn my CM Punk shirt for that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have certain titles on certain shows, but that's just, you know, my opinion. But, yeah. moving on to Friday Night SmackDown, this was kind of like the go-home show for, you know, the PLE Clash at the Castle in Scotland. This Friday Night SmackDown took place in Scotland. And just to start off, man, I got to say, I love European crowds, man. They just make the show so much better. They make it feel so much more special. So I just hope, like, WWE continues to expand, or the crowds in the United States do better. You know, feel how you feel. But, you know, I stand on that.
Honestly, this show, with the European crowds, I ain't gonna lie, they make me want to go buy, like, a VR headset or something to kind of, like, get some type of experience on it or something, bro. It's just like, man, these dudes be just going in. Like, they just... And, like, they... See, this is the thing. I'm pretty sure that they're doing this a lot because they don't really get a lot of wrestling. So, honestly, so as a collective, they're all saying, you know what? We don't get a lot of wrestling. So, let's show out. Let's go to this show like it's our last show. And possibly, it could be their last show for a little minute. Because, you know... I'm pretty sure, like, with this whole direction that they're going right now, they're going to start having more international shows. It's inevitable at this point. You have to have more international shows.
Definitely. With TKO taking over, and we already seen, like, how successful it's been for UFC. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, as a side note, that Cody Rhodes chant was stuck in my head all weekend. Cody. Cody Rhodes. Cody. Cody Rhodes.
That was shit in a quick match.
Yeah. But to start off SmackDown, Naomi defeated Chelsea Green, who, by the way, in her theme song, got Samantha Irvin pronouncing her name in the theme song, which I thought that was pretty cool. We then got a match between Apollo Crews and Santos Escobar. This saw interference with, you know, Angel Umberto of Legado, and then Baron Corbin, which was surprising. But Escobar came out with the victory over Apollo Crews. And then we got the Grayson Waller effect theory, and the guest for that show was DIY, who basically was trying to stir up the pot a little bit and show theory that Grayson Waller is using him, and theory is much better than Grayson Waller. And in this segment, we saw things break down. And then at first, Theory actually took the bullet for Grayson Waller. But then when the second attack came, Grayson Waller actually pushed Theory in the way of the attack and got out the way.
Pun intended.
Yeah. And then how do you feel about the way, you know, things are going with A-Town Down Under?
I'm gonna just say this. I like to see it. Austin Theory is gonna he's gonna eventually turn. He's gonna turn on Grayson Waller, and the fans are gonna love it. It's just he's gonna get tired of it. He's gonna wake up and be like, honestly, you know what? I'm better than you. Which he is. He has more accolades than Grayson Waller to be, you know, playing in the back end of him right now. So he's gonna realize that and be like, all right, you know what? I'm better than you. Time, you know, put you to the side. And they probably gonna set up a little match or something. Down the line, they're going to have a little rivalry and stuff. I've honestly been waiting for Austin Theory, like, babyface run for a minute. I've been waiting for that. This is long overdue. Because I thought they was going to start planting the seeds for it after he lost his Money in the Bank contract. But they ended up having him in another program with Cena and all that stuff. So, hey. But it's all going good for him at this point.
Both guys, Waller and Theory, have so much potential. So I feel like, you know, that'll be a good program for both of those guys. I also like the idea of DIY actually becoming tag team champions. I'm a big yes. DIY fan. So I'm definitely looking forward to where that goes. And then we got a matchup between Nia Jax and Mia Yim. They've been going, you know, back and forth. And Nia Jax came out with the victory. And then we also saw that LA Knight made his way to Logan Paul's mansion in Puerto Rico, snuck his way past security, said he was friends with Logan Paul. So every week it seems like, you know, LA Knight is trying to get closer and closer to that U.S. championship. Where do you stand on these two eventually meeting down the line?
I've been waiting for this. And I think, honestly, once they have this match, it's going to deliver. Because Logan Paul is only showing me, like, every single time he steps in that ring that he's getting, like, he pretty much gets it. He gets this industry, he gets this business, and he's going all in on this business, pun intended.
No, I definitely like that, the way that this is going. I like this feud for both guys. I do hope, you know, LA Knight walks out with the U.S. championship. I feel like, as we said in the past on the pod, certain guys, like, they just in a position where they don't necessarily need a championship. And I feel like Logan Paul, like, to a degree, is one of those guys. Like, he don't really need the U.S. championship like that. But LA Knight is in my opinion, he's in a make or break, you know, time in his, like, WWE career / push. Like, if he takes another major loss, it could, you know, just because he's not the youngest talent. You know, he's not in the newer generation.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like, you know, older than a lot of the guys up and coming. So I just feel like, for me, I would love to see LA Knight, you know, eventually get the strap, you know, from Logan Paul.
Yeah, like, as far as his, like, his push goes, it's kind of on that kind of like, okay, this is it. So honestly, if he gets this win, it'll do really, really good for him. It's gonna revive his push. It'll revive his push, no doubt.
Definitely. And then after that, the guy that has been into it with LA Knight the past couple of weeks, Carmelo Hayes, came out basically to stake his claim as being Melo in the bank. You know, I don't know what is up with, you know, this whole, like, everybody putting their catchphrase and combining it with in the bank. But you think Carmelo Hayes is a potential Money in the Bank briefcase holder by the time August comes around?
I wouldn't be mad. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go with Jey Uso for whatever reason. I guess you got to go with Carmelo Hayes, because, I mean, hey, it's the new kid on the block. You know, you want to put that contract on somebody that you want to push. And honestly, like, what better name than him, Carmelo Hayes? So, hey,
with it, get behind that. And then furthermore on SmackDown, to get into the little main event, we had Kevin Owens going 1-on-1 with Solo Sikoa. And throughout the night, you know, the Street Profits just let that Kevin Owens know that they had his back, you know, against the Bloodline and whatever they tried to pull later on. But they never got the chance because they was attacked, you know, early on in the night. So Kevin Owens went into the main event alone. And we saw, unfortunately, Kevin Owens went down at the hands of the Samoan Spike. And then after the match, he was getting jumped by the rest of the Bloodline. And then who came out to make the save? You know, returning Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
You know, returning for the third time this year. From
the umpteenth time, bro.
I'm telling you. And so we saw those two fight off the Bloodline. And, yeah, that was a Friday Night SmackDown. It was a good show. Like I said, it was in Scotland and basically the go-home show to this next show, which was WWE Clash at the Castle. All in all, a great PLE. I think it's up there for top PLE of this year.
That's a bold statement.
Nah, I think, like, from a match standpoint, all the matches were pretty good. I don't think there was one bad match.
One thing I will say, before we even get, like, into Classic Castle, the ropes. It was those ropes, that was pretty much like fighting, like, another opponent. Them ropes was just taking victims all day, every day, bro. Crazy.
For real, man. Like, you know, the ropes was the real winners.
I'm telling you, might
get put in my top five later. We'll see.
ropes.
But Clash at the Castle started off with the I Quit match for the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship, in which we saw Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. This match was a good match, back and forth. I ain't gonna lie, I was expecting a little bit more, but the match still delivered nonetheless. And, you know, we saw AJ getting into it with Cody's mom. You know, we saw handcuffs. We saw Cody getting beat with a belt again. You know, Shades of the Rock in the final boss. We saw, you know, AJ Styles going through a table. But all in all, what ended the match? AJ Styles in a corner. Cody Rhodes with steel steps above his head, about to launch it at AJ Styles, in which AJ Styles quit. Your takeaways from this match and Cody retaining his championship?
I was not, and I repeat, I was not a fan of that finish. And I know I speak for a lot of people, like, the finish was just like, it was just more of a huh than like a, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, I don't know. It was just, that's my only complaint, was that finish. I mean, we got blood. I was surprised on that. I'm like, we getting some blood in this match? Okay, so we going there? Say less. Yeah, but both of them was, and AJ Styles was bleeding from his back, too, from them chair shots.
Yeah.
That was crazy. But, yeah, overall, that was a good match, though. It was just that finish was, eh.
Yeah, but in my eyes, they made up for what was to come next. Originally, I was going to ask you, like I always ask, what's next for Cody Rhodes? But, you know, I don't have to ask that this time. Because Solo Sikoa creeped up behind Cody Rhodes, you know, as he made his way back to the locker room or, you know, on the entrance ramp. And then the rest of the bloodline came out, 301, jumped Cody Rhodes. And, of course, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton made the save and scaved away the bloodline. So it looks like Cody Rhodes' issues with the bloodline is still not resolved. He still has to worry about that. But one thing, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed at the end when Randy Orton and Kevin Owens made the save, Kevin Owens, you know, was standing on the side of Cody Rhodes looking straight. Randy Orton was standing on the other side of Cody Rhodes looking at that WWE Undisputed Universal World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm telling you. Look, one thing that you got to do. You need to put that picture up here somewhere when you get done. You got to put that picture up here somewhere because that right there, sneaky. Look, Randy Orton, you can't trust him as far as you can throw him. I'm telling you. Like, when it comes to, like, betrayals and heel turns, Randy Orton, come on. He's just, it's honestly, like, it's just in his nature. And I'm pretty sure at this point, for whenever he does go back to, you know, having his little heel run, They're probably gonna give him like the same treatment that they gave Edge, like when he turned heel for the Judgment Day. They didn't really boo him as much. They were still cheering him and stuff. You can't really boo a vet like that. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't. It's just not. It's gonna be hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. To do that. But if anybody can have the fans turn him, I'm pretty sure Randy Orton knows how to do it. So he'll get the job done.
Yeah, I definitely see this turning into a 6-man tag match at Money in the Bank. And I feel like that might be where it happened to set up, you know, Randy Orton versus Cody at SummerSlam.
Oh, you don't think that they it's going to be Solo against Cody at Money in the Bank?
No, only because, like, if Randy was to turn on Cody, I feel like it would have to be in a match. I don't know. I just feel like it would have to be in a match. I mean, that's what I would do. But, yeah, like...
You're right. Disclaimer, again, I am not a booker. Next topic.
But yeah, that was what happened in that match. And then this next match, probably the shock of the night. If I was a betting man, I would be homeless right now. No vehicle, no money, no family. Like, that's how much, you know, I would have bet on Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retaining their championships. But however, in this triple threat match for the Women's Tag Team Championships, the Unholy Union of Isla Dawn and Alba Fire came out with the victory as a shock to many. Now, of course, you know, prayers go out to Alba Fire, who recently lost her mom. So, you know, prayers up for her and her family. But going into their home country of Scotland, they came out with a W. Were you surprised as much as I was when this happened?
Yes and no. I was shocked at the fact that they did drop their titles at that pay-per-view, but at the end of the day, I kind of wasn't because they're in Scotland. They're not going to have, out of them three matches, with Piper Niven, Drew McIntyre, and you got Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, you wasn't going to have all three lose in their hometown. It's just not going to happen. So somebody was going to get that win. Somebody coming out with that dub, because if all three of them, if all three or what, all four would have pretty much lost, right? We riot.
They still rioted at the end.
Yeah. Freaking, there was a video of Samantha Irvin talking about she was apologizing to them as she was walking out. And that just kind of added more fuel to the fire, apparently.
I mean, all in all, I kind of like this. I feel like, you know, respectfully, but really not respectfully, the WWE Women's Tag Team Division has been trashed the past couple years. So to give it to an actual tag team that's, like, been a tag team for at least, you know, longer. And, you know, and I don't think Jade and Bianca were going to be a long-term tag team. Like, I feel like to do that, you know, hopefully it turns into, like, they actually defended against other tag teams and not makeshift tag teams. But, you know, I see that as a plus. On the back end, I'm very curious to see where Bianca and Jade go from here. I'm very curious to see, you know, how that turns out. I feel like initially they'll try to get their titles back, but yeah. I don't think, you know, we'll see.
All I'm going to say is WrestleMania.
He's not a booker, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not a booker, though. I'm not a booker. I promise you, I'm not a booker. I'm kind of planning on getting it tattooed right here. I'm not a booker.
That'd be crazy. Speaking of championships, if you watched the last pod that I did, you would know that I was so strongly on the side of Chad Gable walking out Clash at the Castle as your new Intercontinental Championship. But because of those idiotic members of the Alpha Academy, this was not the case. You know, I'm joking, of course. But yeah, Sami Zayn beat Chad Gable at Clash of the Castle. And then this match was Otis and Maxine ringside, which, you know, that really started all the trouble. Chad wanted Otis and Maxine to get involved. They refused, or they just couldn't bring themselves to do it. Eventually, on the outside, Sami and Chad going at it. Sami reverses. Chad goes right into the already injured ankle of Maxine. And this kind of, you know, not sent Otis over the edge, but made him walk away and turn his back, you know, on Chad Gable, which allowed Sami to get the victory. What were your thoughts on this match?
They need to give this man a title at some point.
He's
been putting in so much work, bro. He improved so much over the past, like, 3-4 months. He has been really putting in that work, bro. Like, honestly, like, he needs that championship to kind of solidify that work he's been putting in. Like, it just, because he's been doing it. I ain't going to lie. He's been doing it. But it's just, I guess it's just not his time right now. But his time is not that far away. I will say that. If it ain't now, it ain't that far away.
You know, you've been saying that a certain group may come for Sami Zayn, and I thought it was pretty interesting that they flashed, like, the little QR code and all the signals, like, right, you know, when all this was happening. So, you know, we'll get into that later, of course. And then we had our next match for the women's WWE Women's Championship. Champion Bayley defeated Piper Niven in her hometown of home country of Scotland. This came as no surprise to really anybody, either of us. You know, unfortunately for Piper, this was just filler. The highlight of this match was when Chelsea Green got sent away the first time and then came back as a luchador the second time. But all in all, Bayley walked out, you know, your WWE Women's Champion. And eventually, I believe, will face Nia Jax at SummerSlam. And then, for the very high, you know, controversial main event. Champion Damian Priest goes into Drew McIntyre's own backyard of Scotland and somehow, some way, you know, faulty ropes and all, comes out still your WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And I know what you're thinking. How? You know, how is this possible? How would WWE let Drew lose in his own home country? Well, it wasn't because of Damian Priest. At the end, Drew McIntyre had Damian Priest beat, not just for, you know, the 3 count, for a whole 10 count. Referee was knocked out, you know, prior to this. And who comes out? A referee runs down the aisle. All we see is the back of his head. He counts 1, 2, and right before the 3, he pauses and the camera shoots. It's CM Punk, ladies and gentlemen. CM Punk is there again to cost Drew McIntyre another World Heavyweight Championship. And Damian Priest walks out of Scotland, still your champion. And Drew McIntyre highly upset, you know, after the show went off cameras. As a side note, prayers up for Drew McIntyre's wife. You know, I know she's been dealing with, you know, medical issues and everything, and she was stuck at the States. And shout out to Drew McIntyre for still being a warrior and coming to, you know, Clash at the Castle and competing, even though his wife was going through that stuff. But with all that said, what were your thoughts on this main event?
See, CM Punk, you ain't fooling nobody, dude. Like, we knew it was you walking, running down that ramp. Because for one, you wearing J's, right? Two, I know that haircut from anywhere. You know what I mean? So the moment I seen that, I'm like, oh yeah, it's CM Punk. And I don't know if you peeped, but he was kind of getting a little mixed reaction out there.
Oh yeah.
Just getting a mixed reaction. I mean, I'm surprised they ain't booing out the building, but he was still getting some boos though. But at the end of the day, it's CM Punk. Everybody loves CM Punk. So I mean, you're not gonna get the whole John Cena and Chicago Money in the Bank 2011 treatment. That ain't gonna happen. But yeah, that right there, that match was solid though. But you kind of made a mistake though. It wasn't Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. It was Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre versus the ropes for the World Heavyweight Championship. All right, so let's get that right. All right, and the ropes almost came out with the victory. We almost had the ropes. Well, honestly, the ropes and or vacant becoming our new Royal Heavyweight Champion.
Crazy. He was hanging upside down between the ropes by his ankle for like, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, Drew even kind of broke character a little bit and was helping him.
Yeah, so like that's just some of the things you see. You know, even though they say wrestling isn't real, you can still get hurt just by, you know, the simplest stuff.
Honestly, but, I'm pretty sure, and this is going off topic, I'm pretty sure people are kind of past that now with the whole wrestling is fake ordeal. Because, I mean, yes, you know it's predetermined, but them bumps hurt. Sometimes a strike doesn't go the way you want it. You get tagged. I mean, you're not going to get tagged all the way, but you're going to feel it. And it's just like, you can't fake gravity. When you're coming down, you coming down. Ain't no stopping that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a professional wrestler in training, so he knows for sure.
Yes.
But we're going to move on to another eventful show, and that was Monday Night Raw. And this Monday Night Raw started off, you know, with a shock and a surprise. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody was singing his song. Monday Night Rollins, Seth Rollins, came back and returned. And made it known that he came back for one reason and one reason only, and that's to get back his World Heavyweight Championship. This brought out Damian Priest, who agreed and said, and he wants to be a fighting champion, so he agreed to face Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank for the World Heavyweight Championship. Your thoughts?
I ain't gonna lie, it kind of surprised me though. come from, like, from Damian Priest, that was kind of a babyface promo he was cutting. Mm-hmm. He was kind of showing, like, you know what? All right, you want your title back? You got it. All you got to do is ask for it. That's something that a babyface would do. So this right here is just showing you exactly, like, what's going to come in Damian Priest's future, because I don't see him with the Judgment Day much longer. He gonna skip out on them soon enough.
See, like, you know, him going in that direction, where he is, you know, fully face. And I think by the time SummerSlam rolls around, or after SummerSlam, he'll be fully face, you know, with everything set to come. After this, we saw Chad Gable in the office of Raw GM Adam Pearce blaming the Alpha Academy, blaming Otis as his biggest disappointment, blaming Tozawa, who wasn't even at Clash at the Castle, and blaming Maxine, who he called Little Miss Bo Peep. You know, another insult to the list for Maxine. And he said he wanted to be challenged. And Adam Pearce obliged, and we got a match between Braun Strowman and Chad Gable. Again, you know, the Alpha Academy refused to get involved. This allowed Strowman to get the victory over Gable. And what happened after the match was very, you know, eventful, in the fact that Gable was going to take all his anger out on Tozawa, who refused to help him during the match. Before he was able to hit Tozawa, Maxine stepped in the way on crutches and a walking boot. Chad Gable snatches away the crutches, throws him outside of the ring, and then he turns his attention back to Tozawa, slaps Tozawa, and then Otis gets involved. And finally, the Otis that we've all been waiting for shoves Chad Gable in the corner. Doesn't attack him, but like you were saying, my friend, that pop for Otis, it was loud. And we're finally, you know, seeing Otis, you know, spread his wings and take the Alpha Academy and go on away from Chad Gable.
Yep. And see, my thing is too, with this happening with, you know, Otis and Maxine and Akira pretty much like slowly leaving Chad Gable, that's going to open the door for the Creed brothers. They're going to come in and replace them. And then that's going to start Chad Gable's own faction right there. With, hopefully, with the IC title around his waist. And, take it a step further, the World Tag Team Championships on the Creed brothers' waist. Now, I am in no way, shape, or form a booker. I'm going to keep saying this. I am not a booker. These are my own thoughts.
You know, the night wasn't over for Chad and Otis interactions, and Chad actually does have future plans, which we'll get to in a bit. But next up was a Money in the Bank qualifier for the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which was a triple threat match between Zelina Vega, Kiana James, and Io Sky. Before this, though, there was a backstage segment between the Judgment Day where Damian Priest pressed Finn about taking the room key, and Finn got pretty defensive about it and said he was just trying to protect Dom. But cooler heads prevailed, and Damian Priest and Finn end up, you know, being cool again until Damian asked, you know, who are you, if you do win the Money in the Bank ladder match, who are you going to cash in on? And which Finn, you know, said he would do Cody. But in the midst of all this, Dominic Mysterio was panicking because he couldn't find his, you know, ring vest that he wears to the ring. But to fast forward to all of this, we got the triple threat match between Io, Zelina, and Kiana James, in which we saw Io Sky win due to interference from Liv Morgan, who was wearing said jacket. This had Dom's initials on it, and with that being said, Io has now qualified for the Women's Money in the Bank, and Liv is still planting her seeds in the Dominic Mysterio garden. One thing that stood out to me with these qualifier matches The graphic only showed that there will only be six participants in the Money in the Bank ladder matches, which I think that's interesting. We've, you know, knocked it down from eight. Any thoughts on that and EO joining the ladder match?
So with EO qualifying, it kind of just goes into what I was saying in the last couple of podcasts that we did, that would be someone that I could see actually winning the whole thing. And so that's just one step closer to her doing that by qualifying for the match. Now, with the whole six participants back, it kind of brings back to where how they used to have the Money in the Bank, where it was just six. So it kind of makes these qualifying matches actually mean more because there's not a lot of room for them. There probably might not even be a second chance match or anything like that. I mean, they probably still can do a second chance like Battle Royal thing that they usually be doing. They could probably still do that. Which in my opinion, I do think Finn Balor might be winning that if they do that, but we're going to get into that. But yeah, I mean, as far as EO taking that, I mean, hey, I'm not surprised. Sorry about that. Ah, keep it in. Keep it in, bro. Just like wrestling matches, gotta keep it pushing. Even in a box, you can't be like, oh, snap. All right, bet. Let's go back. Gotta keep it going.
Word. I couldn't think of it. But,
and we gonna talk about a spot about that later, too. Because it was a spot that I peeped that it was kind of botched a little bit. But
I peeped the box, too. I don't know if we peeped the same thing, but mine wasn't in the match. But we'll get to it. Next up, we have Sami Zayn. Coming out, still your Intercontinental Champion, says he's done with Chad Gable. He hopes the best for Otis in the Alpha Academy, but he's officially done. And he's on to the next thing, which brought out what some deem as the next big thing, Bron Breakker, who's been on a dominant streak, you know, basically ended Ricochet's WWE career, quote unquote. He stated his claim as the next number one contender for that Intercontinental Championship. And then who came out to interrupt? None other than Sheamus. Sheamus saying that the title that has eluded him his whole WWE career was the Intercontinental Championship. And these two got in each other's faces. And this eventually led to a match, you know, later on in the night in which we got that. And we'll get to that later. Also, following this, we had Dragon Lee versus Carlito. Carlito defeated Dragon Lee. But towards the end of the match, everything broke down between the Judgment Day and the LWO. And then Liv Morgan came out to get Dom's attention. But it was short-lived as Zelina attacked her from behind. So that was that. And then after this, we saw a backstage segment between Liv and Dominic in a hallway. Just those two getting some one-on-one alone time. You know, Liv still calling Dom daddy. Dom asking for his jacket back. With Damian Priest watching from afar and coming up. Tell Dom, grab his stuff, you know, and get going. Happy Father's Day to Damian Priest because he came off as such a dad in this segment. And he told Liv to leave Dom alone, leave his son alone, in which Liv replied that, you know, she's only giving Dom what she thinks Dom wants. And if Dom wants to be with Liv, let him be with Liv. So, you know, this is pretty interesting. After this, we saw Drew McIntyre come out and another shock of the night. Drew McIntyre quit. Just as fast as I said it, he quit. And nobody can talk him out of it. Adam Pearce couldn't talk him out of it. Triple H couldn't talk him out of it. Drew McIntyre said he's done with the BS. He's done with CM Punk. He's out.
He said, and I quote, screw this company.
Exactly.
I quit.
Yep. And just like
now,
that.
Now, see, this would have been way more edgier if they would have did this when his contract was expiring. Yeah. And there was no news about his contract being renewed. If that was the case, man, this would spark up so much controversy, bruh. But we already know this is kayfabe at the end of the day. He'll be back. He'll be back to probably attack CM Punk on one of these random episodes of Raw or something.
You know, before SummerSlam, because CM Punk will be cleared by then. Mm-hmm. But then, after that, we got a match between Damage Control, Dakota Kai, and Kairi Sane versus Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, in which Chance and Carter picked up the win due to Lyra Valkyria support. Disallowed EO to go off on him, which I thought was pretty funny. And then after that, we saw backstage again Chad Gable addressing Otis and the Alpha Academy, in which Otis, you know, took the balls out, paused, and said, "We're done." You know, he's done with Chad Gable. And this led Chad Gable to say he'll show him and he'll compete, you know, for the Money in the Bank contract and do what Otis couldn't do, and that's become World Heavyweight Champion. And ladies and gentlemen, if you wasn't paying close attention, Ramblin' Rabbit was in the background, made a nice cameo. You know, I wonder why. But then we got a banger, Sheamus versus Braun Breaker. This match, unfortunately, you know, as good as it was, ended in a no contest due to interference from Ludwig Kaiser. Beat the hell out of Sheamus. Then Braun Breaker speared Sheamus on the ground. Once Braun seemingly, you know, backed away, Kaiser came out, beat on Sheamus. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it, you got to go on YouTube, look up this spot. Basically, Braun's in the aisleway. Of the entrance area closer to the ring. Ludwig Kaiser is on one side. He's gonna run and attack Sheamus. Braun runs all the way from the other side, spears Kaiser. That was quite the spot. And then Braun got in the face of Sami Zayn, who was sitting ringside for the whole thing. Basically alluding to, you know, maybe a championship match down the line. What are your thoughts on Braun Breaker and Sami Zayn, and, you know, the involvement of Kaiser and Sheamus?
Say Braun Breaker speared the Sonic coins on Kaiser, yo. Them Cora Jade inspired spears, bro. Them Cora Jade inspired spears. I mean, it is, bro. I mean, look at the impact he put on them spears, yo. It's just like, man, you gotta calm down, bro. But yeah, I can. It's as clear as day. We could see this turn into a fatal four way match: Sami Zayn, Sheamus, Ludwig Kaiser, Braun Breaker. Hey. Oh, and I gotta remind you, I am not a
booker.
There you go.
He said it five times.
Five times. Five times. Five times. Five times. Five times.
But me personally, I wouldn't be mad at Braun as an Intercontinental Champion. But Kaiser as an Intercontinental Champion? Hey, I could buy it.
Yeah, it's believable. It will kind of have like a little like ego war between Gunther and Kaiser. Because see, if Kaiser has the IC title and then Gunther goes all the way to SummerSlam, goes for his world championship opportunity and loses, kind of have something going on with them two. But hey, like I said, I am not a booker. I think they get the point now, but I'm just saying.
They definitely, if they didn't know.
I hope they get the point.
If they didn't know then, they know now.
Yeah.
But to round the night off, we got the main event, another Money in the Bank qualifier match, this time for the men's, in which we saw Jey Uso defeat Rey Mysterio and Finn Balor. This was a good match, you know, a lot of back and forth. Jey Uso ended up, you know, becoming one step closer to being, as he put it, Mr. Yeet in the Bank. And he capped off the show doing the wave. You know, all the fireflies were out. And, you know, then the light started to go out. And then a door appeared on the ramp. Very ominously, a woman crawled out from behind the door. And then we got to step inside WWE's version of a haunted house, in which we saw, you know, all these different creature-looking beings, you know, masked-up individuals. We had Gunther laid out, Chad Gable laid out, you know, a lot of guys from the locker room. I saw Braun Strowman in there laid out.
I've seen Dominic laid out, huh?
Nah, I ain't see Dom.
Was I seen on a thing they said it was Dominic that was laid out?
It probably was.
Triple H. But nah, Triple H wasn't laid out either.
I didn't see Triple H. I only saw Gunther, Chad Gable, and Braun Strowman.
Oh yeah, you can obviously see Chad Gable. Look like somebody freaking off them or something, bro.
For real.
He had a whole blood mark on the side of his face.
Yeah, this all led up to the return of Uncle Howdy. You know, of course, you know, RIP to the late great Bray Wyatt, but you know, they're continuing on in his legacy, creating, you know, the Wyatt Six. You know, there's said to be rumored, you know, members. I'll let you guys look that up on your own, or if you want to watch with the show and see if everybody going to be, you know, revealed, that'd be dope too. As far as the Wyatt Six, we're going to get into more of that next week, you know, depending on what happened on Raw and who their potential targets could be. But actually, that sparked the idea, but we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt Six are back. I'm very curious because there were only five members. So I'm wondering where the sixth person is. But that was Monday Night Raw. Your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm going to just say I think like this will kind of make the most sense. But I think the sixth member is Bray Wyatt.
So they left it open for him?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
Makes sense. What do you think about that theory that Bray not really dead, that he actually, you know, fooling us? And this not to play with the man name. I'm just like, I just saw this on Twitter and like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like people believe that, you know, he pulling one over on us and he going to end up revealing himself. But
the fact that people believe in that theory is crazy, because like leading up to like, you know, to like his WrestleMania match he was supposed to have with Bobby Lashley, he had to pull out because of that. You know what I mean? With him not feeling good and all that stuff like that. Then after that, we find out that he passed and all that stuff like that. And then, you know, that was that. But yeah, I'm not even entertaining a theory like that, yo. Because that's crazy. Like, people actually think something like that. Like, man.
I would say, just let the man rest in peace and let the story play out. It's supposed to play out.
Right, because look, at the end of the day, the debut, everybody was saying that the debut was not going to live up to the hype, but to me, it did. Debut was fine.
It did.
Yeah, made their point. They got their point across, and it was fine. It was good to me.
And I'm looking for it.
Theories like that is just crazy. Like, I swear, like, what on earth in the IWC, like, what they be thinking about, bro?
I don't know, bro. They got nothing else to do. They just sit behind the computer screen.
Anyway.
But that led me to an idea I just thought of on the spot. Top five, man. This edition of top five targets for the newly debuted Wyatt Six.
Top five, no debating. Top five.
Since we're short on time, we're going to do it a little different. We'll do back and forth. So, like, either you can start or I can start. And then, so, like, if you want to start, you be five, I'll be four. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So, I'll take the odd, you take the even.
All right.
So, for the fifth, for the first one, I got Jey Uso off rip. It just makes sense with the whole Firefly thing. And then the tweet, they just like, okay, well, you want to steal the whole Firefly thing?
And I don't know if you saw what he said after the show about how he don't want to be involved with those guys and how they can have the Fireflies back. Like, I thought that was, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully not. Hopefully they don't get away, you know, get in the way of him getting that Money in the Bank contract. But, you know.
Yeah.
Number four, I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. I just think, you know, why not?
Yeah, he does have the Intercontinental Championship, so they might want to get gold around their waist real quick.
Yeah.
Number three, I got Dominic Mysterio. Because pretty sure the whole purpose of the Wyatt Six is about family. You know what I mean? So you betraying your family, it don't look too good in the eyes of the Wyatt Six.
All I'm gonna say is, you may not be a booker, but you cooking, boy. But number two, I'm gonna go with Chad Gable, only because out of everybody, they show his face the most clear. So, you know, speaking of family, he will always. Hey, that's a good point you made. He will always say, you know, for Academy is a family.
Yep, and I was also gonna pinpoint that too. Now that you mentioned Chad Gable, he betraying his people. Hey. They don't like that. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, they ain't feeling it. And number one, I got Braun Strowman. Obvious reasons. He used to be in ties with Bray Wyatt and stuff. They had their own little program going on. And I guess they must have, like, they can kind of play in the thing where, like, they tried to talk to him about potentially being a member of the Wyatt Six, and he's kept, like, resisting. Like, no, I don't want to re-enter that part of my life again type of ordeal, you know, and then, like, they could have a story off of that.
No, ladies and gentlemen, but the boy cooking.
In no way, shape, or form.
But we're going to round out today's show with a little bit of NXT results. And, Xander, I just got one question for you. Do you believe in Joe Hendry?
I believe in Joe Hendry. Yo, that was my first time seeing, like, a NXT crowd, like, camera shake. I ain't never seen a camera shake for NXT.
Well, that was the first time I ever seen someone like a camera shake. In this era, I done seen any camera shake for NXT.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, yeah. Let me rephrase that. In this era, like, in the new era of NXT. And also, if you ain't peaked too with the whole Battle Royals, I know you're probably going to get into that since you're talking about Joe Hendry. What's his face was in there? Frankie.
Yeah, Kazarian.
He was in there. I see that. Like, ain't nobody talking about him, though. But, like, he in there.
Yeah, it was quite the Battle Royal, you know. Some new faces in different places or from different places. Unfortunately for Joe Hendry, he didn't last that long. You know, in the Battle Royal after a showdown with, you know, Ethan Page and, you know, he got eliminated. But the winner of this match was the young OG, Javon Evans, man. Shout out to him, man. He's been doing great things since he got to NXT.
He's been also doing great things outside of WWE before getting there. That's why his name was out there. Because, man, that dude in, what is it, DPW?
DPW.
I think it's DPW.
I think so.
It's Dangerous Promotion. Then that Chris Danger be on.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, IWC, if you're watching this, you know what I mean? You're more than welcome to get in the comments and correct me if I'm wrong.
But no,
we take feedback over here, if you haven't noticed. Do.
You know, if you feel like, you know, we're not saying nothing or you want to see improvement somewhere, let us know. We ain't scared.
Yeah.
After this, we got the triple threat tag team match with, you know, the Metaphors, Jakara Jackson, Lash Legend versus JC Jane and Jasmine Nix and Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice. This match saw Roxanne and Lola take the victory. Afterwards, you know, they both were raising their hands in victory, in which Roxanne quickly turned on Lola Vice, setting up a program for those two down the line. I've seen people who are in support of Lola Vice and people who are, you know, very negative about Lola Vice. What side do you stand on?
You gotta ask that? Of course I'm with Lola Vice. Like, come on. It's Lola Vice at the end of the day. You know what I mean? She is either gonna be the next NXT champion, women's champion, or the next NXT women's North American champion at some point. in her career before she gets called up to the main roster. One of them two championships, if not both of them championships, are going to be around her waist at some point.
You see it. Speaking of the NXT North American Championship, we had a championship match with champion Kalani Jordan versus Mee Chin. We saw Kalani ended up retaining due to interference from Jada Parker, who pushed Mee Chin off the top rope. Unbeknownst to Kalani, but she came out with the victory. We also saw before this Sol Ruka wishing Kalani good luck. So maybe we might get a match between a program between those two down the line. Then for NXT Heatwave setting up in Toronto next month, Obafemi agrees to give Wesley one more match. And if this time Wesley loses, he can't challenge for the NXT North American Championship so long as Obafemi has that title. Also in the crowd, Brooks Jensen was being detained by police. So there's that. He's unhinged. We also got Fallon Henley beating Carly Bright. After this, we saw the OC versus Chase U, which now has, you know, Ridge Holland in it. And we saw Chase U defeat OC via help of Ridge Holland. Duke Cousin wasn't really, you know, happy about this. But either way, Chase U came out, you know, with the win. And then in the main event, we saw Ethan Page go one-on-one against Javon Evans, who, like we said, won the Battle Royal earlier. But in this match, we saw Ethan Page defeat Javon Evans, gets into the face of Trick Williams. Then the Young OG was then attacked by Sean Spears. Trick Williams, you know, went to his aid, and then Ethan Page attacked him. And so after that, Javon got back to his feet, so it looked like it's setting up, you know, a tag team match between Trick and Javon versus Ethan Page and Sean Spears. Also, as a side note, WWE do better. Ethan Page's theme song is trash. Your thoughts on NXT as a whole?
Solid show. You know, it's just not really much you can really complain about, especially with them starting off hot, you know, with Joe Hendry. That dude, I'm telling you right now, Joe Hendry is so over. I'm even hearing about, you know, like people saying that he's going to be getting more appearances in NXT because of how successful that was. And in my opinion, honestly, like that, I couldn't see it any better way. Like this whole NXT TNA collaboration that they're doing right now, it is doing numbers. I'm going to tell you this right now. It is doing wonders and numbers for both brands. Like, yeah. It's bringing, and it's making me want to go watch TNA, like, for real, be like, okay, yeah. All right, man, you know what, like, let me go and see what's going on over there, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just like, it's good, like, for both parties involved, and the fact that TNA is looking to having a redemption year right now, having a banner year right now, is crazy, because you would not expect TNA to be doing this. You would probably be expecting the kind of success that TNA is having right now with AEW. But TNA is really doing their thing right now. Don't sleep on TNA. If you have not watched TNA, you need to tap back in TNA. Because honestly, me and this guy used to be TNA marks back in middle school all day.
Yeah, I still been keeping up with it.
That right there was the real alternative.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to kind of see shades of that now. You know, with like how they used to be. So it's like, all right, let me tap in now.
Especially because they first started by bringing the actual name back. They brought TNA back. They brought the colors back.
That right there, that just doing that announcement kind of brought me to be like, all right, you know what? They're probably going off on the right foot. And them championships look nice.
Yeah.
They got nice championships too.
You about to make me go on universe mode and create TNA. But
hey, man, I'm already working on a Wildcat universe mode.
Hey, if you watching this, somehow, some way, we'll probably find a way to put his gamer tag in there so you can download all that content. WWE 2K24.
SIRTONEY. That's my PSN. If you want to play me and get dropped off in anything wrestling, Tekken, whatever you want to get beat in, I'm your guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, he not dropping nobody off respectfully.
All right.
But, all right, man, before we get on out of here, anything you want to say?
Kind of already said everything. All right, so my PSN, SIRTONEY. Again, that is SIRTONEY. And that message is courtesy of him, the golden ticket, Mr. All-in-One from the 631, Allen Sam.
Since we doing like that whole thing, well, I've been your host. It's your boy, Ron the Don. And we'll see you next week. We out.
RDD.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.